The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to What's It Like? It's a podcast, you know that. I'm Lee Kyle. You may know that, you may not. I'm recording this on a microphone that is worse than a microphone that I recorded the rest of it on. So if you're like, this microphone's not a good enough microphone to listen to for an entire podcast, don't worry, you don't have to. The rest of it's better, man. This is a podcast where I talk to people about a specific aspect of their life. Today I'm talking to Alice Roberson about what it's like to live in Japan. It's interesting that, innit? Living in Japan. Seems a very different place to Britain. Mind, I don't know if you're in Britain. You could be anywhere. That's the beauty of the internet. You could be in Japan going, well, I know what it's like to live in Japan. Let's see what the very limited experience of a white girl from Britain thinks about it. So we could be wrong. You know, all we can talk about is her experience of living in Japan for a year. And it's interesting. It's a very different place and she loves Japan. And now she doesn't live in Japan. And we also find out the reason why she can no longer live in Japan, even if she wanted to. I've made that sound more sordid than it is. If you like this, check out patreon.com/feltnout. There's loads of stuff on there. It's a collection of all comics in the Northeast. We've got loads of podcasts and videos and full-length stand-up shows from comedians. Tickets to gigs, there's loads of stuff you can get on there, set up a recurring payment and everything goes back into helping Northeast comedy. And what I will say is it's a truly socialist thing, it's felt now. It's a cooperative, it did helps the community. Please look into that. It's the only thing of its type in the world. We'd love you to help, but also have a lovely listen. Go on. Yeah, we're just going straight into it.
Okay.
People don't need to know this, but I'm going to record the intro later, even though they'll hear it first.
I see.
It's the magic of television, which they never let us on. I think I'm too ugly. Anyway, Alice, you lived in, get this, Japan.
I did, and good God, do I like going on about it, don't I?
Well, that's a relief, because for the next plural amount of minutes, we're going to go on about it. First off, right, I need to tell you what I know about Japan.
Okay.
And you can tell me if any of this are misconceptions.
Okay.
So, you lived in Okinawa,
mm-hmm.
which I know of for the very obscure wrestling promotion Okinawa Pro, which I don't know if it still exists, and where Karate Kid went in Karate Kid 2.
Yep. Everyone's okay. Got the Karate Kid reference. Yeah.
That's what I know about Okinawa. So,
okay.
Japan itself,
mm-hmm.
These are the conceptions people have about Japan, right? Or I have about Japan. Quite fetishy.
Yeah, I can say that, yeah.
Love things that are cute.
Yep.
There is the thing that... Very futuristic toilets.
Yeah.
But oddly, quite bad technology in a lot of ways, like internet-wise.
Yes, actually, yeah.
Like, I am a former pro wrestler and wrestling fan, so a lot of my things are based on that, which can say... They either take their wrestling incredibly seriously and it's very close to a real fight and people die young... Or ludicrously, and they're dressed as spacemen.
Yeah.
So it's a country that takes things very seriously or are idiotic. But also, they have a huge work ethic and are loyal to their companies. How much of that is right?
It's a total cliche about Japan, but people often say that it's like, oh, it's the land of like absolute opposites. So like you say, everything's either mental or incredibly serious, but it's like, oh, it's also proper futuristic with robots and that, but all these old temples and shit. So, yeah.
So what made you move to Japan? Was it work or was it you've always wanted to live in Japan? Or
I very randomly did Japanese at uni, even though I'd never studied Japanese before, just because like, I liked some anime and that. Like,
I get that. My wife studied Russian at university because she liked Russia. I mean, there wasn't a war then.
Yeah, it's not the same as going now. So bear in mind, when I lived in Japan, it was 2007, 2008. So quite a while ago now. But yeah, I got told I had to go to uni because everyone did at the time. They were like, go and get in debt and go to uni and then get a job that's got absolutely nothing to do with your degree, like everyone's going to do. Because I was a contrary little prick, I was like, fine, then I'm going to do Japanese, I guess. And everyone was like, yeah, that's fine. Literally, the whole point is just go and learn how to be an adult and get in debt with the government, really. So,
but luckily, what you can do is not be in any way successful in your life, then you never have to pay it back.
Yeah, the problem is now I've got a job that's slightly good enough that I have to pay back my bit of my student loan. But it'll outlive me, you know. I'll owe more money.
So, I think it's the least you can do.
I like getting those letters from the student loan company where it's like, you used to owe us 29 grand. You now owe us 31 grand because of interest. And this year you've paid off £600. It's like, can I not just have that £600 back?
Yeah,
was there any point? Was there any point?
Just I'm basically a failure.
Put that on the interest, really. But I got to live in Japan, but then I think, cost is 30 grand though, is it? Yeah.
So is it easy to get into Japan? I don't mean, obviously you can fly it. I mean, is it easy to live and work there?
There was a huge boom around the time that I was wanting to go because they're desperate for, it's like most countries where English isn't the first language, they're desperate for people to go over there and live there for a year and teach English, basically, even if you have absolutely no teaching skills whatsoever. Nice. And I think a lot of white English and American people get work there quite easily just purely from speaking English.
Did you experience any... So I had a friend who was, well, it was a wrestler who lived there for a bit, and he said there was certainly parts of the country where people were very racist against him. But then it turns out a lot of them were Hiroshima, and you go, fair enough, in a way.
In a way,
yeah. You sort of understand it, can't you?
So the weird thing about where I lived, so for people who don't have an inside-out knowledge of Japanese geography, which is fair enough, you've got, like, most of Japan, which is up near Korea and the east coast of Russia, almost. And I lived in Okinawa, which is a tiny little island close to, like, Taiwan, like, down towards China and East China Sea, which historically is where, well, still is where all the American military bases are.
Okay.
So it's tiny, but it has most of the American military bases that are still in Japan following World War II. So everyone there hates white people because they assume that you're all American military. But I used to like hearing people saying, you know, oh, fucking Americans, and I would just turn around and say in Japanese, I'm not fucking American. So that was always a nice little thing about the racism there.
You could have gone away.
Excuse me, actually, I'm English. And yes, we've got a terrible past of colonialism, but not in Japan.
Awful, but not in the same way.
We fucked over China. So yeah, but no, yeah. But like you say, completely understandably, they don't like white people over there very much. So
how was your adaptation there? Was it different to what you assumed it would be going?
Totally, mostly because you don't think of Japan as being particularly hot, but where I lived, it was subtropical. But even like mainland Japan, even Tokyo, it gets absolutely roasting in the summer. So the main thing for me was the weather more than anything. And then there's the food. Like when I moved there, I was vegetarian. When I came back, I was eating absolutely anything because...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's easier now, but in 2007, if you didn't eat fish, you were
fucked. Like probably if you were in Tokyo, it would be fine.
Yeah.
And you could sort of adapt. But there you're just like, here is some fish.
Yeah, here's some fish. Here's some noodles that have got pig's trotters in them. Just eat them.
Cats. They love cats. I hope that you didn't eat cats, right?
No, I don't. Yeah, I thought. No.
I was trying to remember Japanese things.
Okay. Yeah, they have the cats. Absolutely pointless doing a physical gesture on a podcast. You might be able to get
they know what you're doing. That arm thing that cats do.
The arm thing the cats do in Japan.
Just doing that.
They do love cats. Lots of stray cats in Japan.
Yeah, that is sad,
but they're
isn't
a bit
it?
Diseased and sad, and you want to take them home and you can't. But yeah, lots of stray cats.
So when you're over there, do you feel like you can or did integrate into Japanese society?
Oh, not remotely, no.
As in you couldn't or you didn't?
A bit of both. I think it's one of those countries where, being very careful to say this as a white person, but there's a very big sense of othering because the local population all... You can tell if you're not from Japan in a way that you can't tell if someone was born in England. You can generally... I don't look like I was born in Japan. And yes, there are people who are white who are born in Japan. There are people of many different races who are actually Japanese. But it's just very obvious that you're not.
Yeah, there's an obvious difference.
Yeah. And you will be treated like... it's weird because in a way sometimes it's like it's almost like positive racism where people are like, oh, your Japanese is excellent, and you're like, oh, it absolutely isn't. It's embarrassingly terrible. But you know, you'd be like, you'll say hello and they'll clap and
yeah.
Oh, you're so good. But I think I wasn't there for very long. I was there for just over a year. So I think if given longer time, but my problem was I went, lived there, and then I came back to England for a year for my degree. And in that time I got tattoos, and then I was just never going to get employed in Japan after that, unfortunately.
My understanding of that is that they're sort of connected to Yakuza stuff.
Yeah. And it's not like I've got like, you know, like a full blown suit with like a beautiful ornate koi carp. I've got absolutely stupid tattoos that the Yakuza would never have, but... And it's a generational thing. I think more younger Japanese people have tattoos these days.
Yeah.
But it's very much like, it's kind of like being a skinhead over here. Like,
yeah.
Eventually people will be like, some people are just bald. But in the meantime, it's like, but he's a massive racist. So if I've got a tattoo of a rabbit on my arm, it's like, she's probably part of the
especially
mafia.
Especially in a bit of where you were, where it is a smaller town, Japan. Really.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So did you spend much time in the bigger cities?
I visited a few times because I had a scholarship, which I just wasted on plane tickets to Tokyo now and then. So, yeah, but I'm as someone who has a lot of fear around big groups, it is a weird country to go to, to go to, like, the busiest train stations on the planet. So it's a lot of people.
Yeah, like, there's no respite in Tokyo as such.
No, not at all.
Did you go to any of the more countryside bits?
Because
that's the underrated bit about Japan that people often don't like. Apparently, it's a very beautiful country.
Yeah, it's stunning. No, I didn't go to any of those places. I'd love to go to like northern Japan, where it's like more mountainous and snowy and peaceful. But then also, that's post me being there. That's the bit that got fucked by Fukushima. Yeah. So
you live in Okinawa, right? What where you lived, was it like a town or a village?
It's so small. Honestly, you can walk from one side of the island to the other. So just like, even just Okinawa, like the main island is tiny. You can walk from like the west coast to the east coast. I mean, it'll take a couple of hours, but... So there are like little towns and cities, but it'd be our idea of like Newcastle would be a big city there.
Yeah.
So it was... But it's all very... Even though it's only like what you would think of as little towns, everything's made of concrete because it's like typhoon country.
Right,
so everything feels quite urban, even though it's not particularly populous.
So the actual homes there aren't what we might think of as traditional Japanese. Yeah, they're not super pretty.
Yeah, it's not like the tatami mats and the sliding wooden doors and everything. It's like concrete blocks because they've got to withstand the winds and the waves.
So you went basically because you're interested in Japanese things, right?
So as you know Battle Royale, that film where
yes,
all
I do know Battle
children
Royale, yeah.
I
haven't
bothered
watching the sequel because it looks shit.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered.
I saw that just, I think, at a very formative age of being, like, 14, 15, and then it was like, oh, I love Japanese shit now.
Yeah.
And it went from there, basically. Yeah. But had I not seen Battle Royale at a certain point in year 10, I would have done a very different degree,
a more useful degree.
A much
whereas
more
now
degree.
You've got a degree in a language in a country you're not really allowed to work in. Well done, mate.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So do you still have that interest in Japanese thing now?
I totally do, yeah. It's
so
just...
that didn't get it out of your system?
No. Man, I don't know what will. Yeah, no, it's a total shame because I wish I still used Japanese, but like, not the biggest.
So how well can you speak it?
I understand it a lot more than I could use. And the problem with Japanese is the reading and writing. Like, if you don't keep on top of that, that goes.
Yeah.
So I can still understand a lot of spoken Japanese. And if I ever... I could get by in a conversation, you know, like I could do, like, the equivalent of, like, A-level French. But considering I've got a degree in it, it should be a lot better than it is.
If you didn't get a degree, that should make you fluent, shouldn't it?
It sounds like it should, shouldn't it? Oh, I've got a degree in Japanese. It's like, oh, well, you know, you could read this
you
novel
are
in it. And it's
a
like,
Japanese
oh,
speaker.
My God, absolutely not, no.
So... You're out there, you didn't integrate as such. It may not have even been possible in that short period of time. So who are you hanging around with out there?
All the other international students, mostly. So I deliberately made the snotty choice of, when I moved to the university, I deliberately lived in dorms with Japanese people, not in, one, because they were cheaper, but two, there was like the international house where all the international students were, which was, to be fair, loads more fun. And then, or you could live in the cheaper dorms with the Japanese students, but they were very... stereotypically Japanese and keeping themselves.
Yeah.
Although there was this one lass who was absolutely mental about cleanliness, and she did this disgusting thing where I never got pulled for it because at the time I had bright short pink hair. So if I was leaving hair in the shower, you would have known it was mine. Everyone else obviously had beautiful long dark hair. She would, after people went in the shower, and this sounds like such a like culturally insensitive joke that I'm making, but it's 100% true, she would get chopsticks.
Oh God.
Pick people's hair out of the shower drain, bag it up and tape it to the wall with the time the person was in the shower and be like, can you clean the fucking shower?
Wow.
Like she was mental, but she was the only one that I really spoke to because she was clearly nuts.
Yeah.
And the rest of them were
very... She's a bit like me.
Yeah, exactly. So that's who I modelled my life on. But the rest, they were very stereotypically like keeping themselves. But also probably that fucking mental British lass with the pink hair that lives in room 9.
They might have
lives
went, we're very
9,
friendly
like,
to English people, but she was just a bit...
She's just a bit much, isn't she?
A bit much, yeah.
So mostly,
what,
yeah, other
international
students.
What was
students.
The most... Was there a thing about Japan that you may have expected or not expected, but that you found a bit unsettling? Like, just a cultural difference that was too big to bridge?
I think it's how reserved a lot of people are. It's very hard to make friends.
That's interesting.
With
because we're quite a reserved country, considered by European or American standards.
And similarly to us, actually, once we get each other drunk, we can be more friendly with each other.
Yeah.
So obviously, in Japan, there's a massive karaoke culture. So that would be basically how you actually bullied people into being friends with you. It's like, oh, let's all go and get shit faced and go on. And obviously, it was like 2007, so let's all go and sing the Kaiser Chiefs. Something like that.
And I imagine too, if you're singing karaoke in Japan, you sound much better over here than you over there than you would over here, because you're singing it in the language the songs are in.
Yeah, you'd be like, I know this song. I don't have to look.
You're
at
really
the
good singer. You're like,
so
yeah,
good.
Yes, I am.
Really not. But the thing that was class when I was over there is as well as you could smoke everywhere. You probably can't now.
No.
But a much bigger smoking culture in Japan than there is over here. I mean, just generally in Asia. It's the same in like Korea and China as well. So
you're in Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's like one memory where you go, that is the best thing that happened.
Whoa. What was the best thing that ever happened in Japan? There's like loads of, so the Japanese love like festivals. You know how we have lots of random bank holidays?
Yeah.
They have lots of random festivals. So it's like, this is the day, this is like, it's like the 3rd of March, so 3/3 is Girls' Day, and then 5/5
okay.
is Boys' Day or something like that. But there's a, like, their version of like a long bank holiday weekend, Golden Week, which is around about May or June maybe. And everyone just goes out and gets absolutely hammered. But the thing is, Japanese firework displays, they're like nothing you've ever seen. And you know when like people film a firework display and you're like, you're never gonna fucking watch it ever again.
Yeah,
I've literally watched
yeah.
Japanese firework displays on YouTube because they love that shit. So if you're ever off your tits on a beach in Okinawa watching this amazing firework display, I can visibly remember this
nice.
one, but it's like the timing and the music, and that sounds so bang. And
no,
again,
it doesn't, I get that.
And it's a total like Asian stereotype, like, oh, them kids love their fireworks, but
well, a lot of stereotypes, I mean, they are for a reason,
something.
Aren't they?
Yeah. There's no smoke without fireworks.
Would, if you were given another year to live there, would you go back and live there for another year?
100%, yeah.
Would you move there, given the choice?
Removing the concept that, like, all my friends and family live in the Northeast, and that's honestly why I've never left. Absolutely. I would love to go back specifically to Okinawa as well. I got to go back, like, for, like, a short holiday in 2016. I actually weirdly went over and did a roller derby tournament over there in the island that I used to live on, and it was like it was like coming home in a way. It was
That's
just like
nice.
God, I've missed this so much. It was
so was
it was,
you,
really
was
nice.
You leaving in the first place just a case that your contract was finished?
It was like, yeah, it was the way my degree worked was I had to do my final year back at my UK university, and then for a while I did try and get work like anywhere in Japan, and I just gave up.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I just gave up. But I am also, as much as I went over there and lived there for a year, I've very much realised that I'm a homebird, as people say. Like, I couldn't move away from the Northeast. I really couldn't.
I'm sort of similar, even though I couldn't tell you what's good about it.
No, exactly. It's like, well, why do you want to stay
it.
Here? It's like, I don't know, but
I'm
can't
just used to
leave.
Where things are, I think.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I know I would... I always think about in terms of like, oh, well, if everyone I ever knew died, then yeah, I'd absolutely go straight back there. Or if I had the money, I'd love to go back for, you know, like an extended stay or something.
But they insist on staying alive.
How selfish.
The absolute fucks. So did you meet any, did you meet anyone in Japan who you're still in touch with?
Yeah, but again, like other international students. Yeah. So weirdly, I was the only person from the UK at my uni. So a lot of my friends were French or German.
Right.
But yeah, so I spent a lot of time having gone to Japan to learn Japanese, speaking French or hearing French. Right. So my French was excellent by the end of it. But yeah, no, I've got quite a few friends. Like, not like I've not seen them in ages, yeah. But you know, when you have like Instagram friends and you're like, do hot eyes on that photo of that flat in Paris, and you're yeah. like, oh, remember when we used to know each other?
Paris.
I know. I'm like, look at my flat in Cramlington, isn't it? Yeah. Look. Oh, fuck you. But yeah, yeah.
So there's no like regrets about, is there regrets that you did that as a degree? Would you like to have got over there anyway without?
Yeah, I maybe like went a bit hard with my interests in Japan. Like, well, like anything that I ever get interested in.
So what's your favourite thing about, not Japan, but like Japanese culture, stuff you're still into now?
Music. There's good music. Lots of good like shitty TV dramas. Mm. Was never like fully into anime, like my brother's, but I think it's because my brother's like a total weeaboo white boy Japanese nerd, so I was just a bit like, oh no,
my son tried that for
stuff.
A bit and then got bored. He got into J and K-pop, and I worked out there was a V-pop, which is Vietnamese.
Oh wow,
don't bother.
See, I was in J-Rock, actually. Oh, yeah. Much cooler. Yeah, yeah. But there's this, like, there's this obviously very Japanese particular subset of Japanese rock music that's called Visual K, where it's just kind of rock music, but then they all dress up like absolutely mental cartoon characters.
Okay, that sounds like that would happen.
That's
yeah.
so Japanese, right? So, that yeah, there's, like, there'll be bands where, like, they all play, like, different characters, and it's just mental. And the music sounds like it should be off a video game, but, like, in a cool way.
I don't know enough about music to comment on what the difference is, but I certainly can't tell the difference between, because the music I know from Japan is because wrestlers use it as entrance music, and it's absolutely different to American rock music. I don't know what the difference is, but it seems more complicated.
Exactly, yeah. There's just more of everything, and it's somehow more digital sounding, even if it's not like. It's just a guitar, but it sounds like a robot's guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like in music. Basically, if it sounds like a disco, but it's in space and there's glitter there, I'm into it.
You would absolutely love living in Japan.
Yeah, well, and I'd be tall. Right, Alice, we're going to... that is it, right? But we are going to have a little bit extra where we're going to talk about, I don't know, let's say fetishes and different flavours of Kit Kats. That's
yes,
Japan, isn't it?
That is so Japan.
Which you
Japan.
Can get if you go to patreon.com/feltnout. Thank you, Alice.
That was a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.